Every year, the Adventist World Magazine provides daily week of prayer readings during the month of November. The first of a series of 8 readings is presented by Pastor Ted Wilson, president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. His feature is entitled, Why Scripture? A brief overview of how the Bible became available to the common people and why it is still important for us today.
The man had been dead and buried for 40 years. Then one gray day, the peace was broken in a church graveyard in Lutterworth, England, as a strange group approached a certain plot with shovels in their hands. Gathering around the grave, clergy ordered the diggers to exhume the remains of John Wycliffe, a much-loved priest and highly esteemed Oxford scholar who died on December 31, 1384. Wycliffe's bones were then burned and his ashes scattered in the River Swift. What had he done to deserve such a fate? Why was the Church of Rome so intent on ridding the earth of his remains? Because he dared to speak the truth and provide the Word of God to people in their native tongue. A century before the birth of Martin Luther, John Wycliffe proclaimed, "Trust wholly in God, rely altogether on his sufferings. Beware of seeking to be justified in any other way than by his righteousness." Wycliffe knew the power of Scripture and was determined to provide it in the common language, rather than Latin only, the language of the learned. While facing fierce opposition, he carried forward this important work, explaining that Englishmen learn Christ's law best in English. Moses heard God's law in his own tongue. So did Christ's apostles. The Wycliffe Bible had a profound influence as it gave thousands direct access to God's Word. In the classic book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, John Fox wrote, "Though they digged up Wycliffe's body, burnt his bones, and drowned his ashes, yet the Word of God and the truth of his doctrine, with the fruit and success thereof, they could not burn, which yet to this day doth remain." John Huss, a Czech priest, is another such person. In 1402, Huss was appointed to serve in the city of Prague. Huss spoke against corruption in the Roman Catholic Church and urged reform. Believing this could only be achieved through Scripture, he determined to provide his people with a Bible translated into Czech. He assembled a translation team, and the first Czech language Bible appeared in 1416. Huss was soon arrested for heresy, imprisoned, convicted without a trial, and burned at the stake. As the flames engulfed him, he was heard reciting the Psalms. William Tyndale, a gifted Oxford and Cambridge scholar who was fluent in 8 languages, is perhaps the most well-known Bible translator and martyr. Living in 16th century England, Tyndale was familiar with Wycliffe's Bible. Although it was still banned, manuscript copies were available on the black market, but were expensive and hard to find. Printing was becoming more common by the mid-1500s, so Tyndale decided the time was right for an updated English translation that would be accessible to more people. Tyndale translated from the original Greek and Hebrew texts rather than Latin as Wycliffe had done. Because of the religious climate in England, Tyndale traveled to Germany where the Reformation was well underway and Martin Luther had completed a German translation of the Scriptures. Tyndale worked quickly, and by 1525, copies of his New Testament were smuggled into England. Religious leaders were furious that they could not stop the spread of God's Word. Meanwhile, Tyndale worked on translating the Old Testament while still living on the European continent. He translated and published roughly half of the Old Testament before he was betrayed by a fellow Englishman. William Tyndale was imprisoned for 500 days in a castle near Brussels before he was removed from its dungeon in October 1536, tied to a stake in the castle courtyard, then strangled with a thick chain before his body was burned. Others suffered a similar fate. Thomas Hitton, a priest, confessed to smuggling 2 Tyndale Bibles into England. He was charged with heresy and burned alive. Richard Bayfield, a monk who supported Tyndale, was viciously tortured before being burned at the stake. A group of students at Oxford University who shared Tyndale's Bible with others were left to rot in a dungeon that was used for storing saltfish. What was so precious about Scripture that they and thousands more were willing to suffer and die for it? And is God's Word as important to us today? The Bible is now widely available. It has the distinction of being the bestseller of all time. It is the most translated book in the world. Various individual books of Scripture have been translated into 2,932 different languages. The entire New Testament is available in 1,333 languages. The complete Bible has been translated into 553 languages. Yet despite its widespread availability, the Bible is perhaps one of the least read and most besieged books of this age. While persecution for owning a Bible still exists in some places, in much of the world, attacks on Scripture come more subtly. One of the most pernicious attacks comes through the historical critical method of Bible study. In this method, the reader decides what is and is not important, what is trustworthy and what can be set aside. The reader puts himself or herself above Scripture. Another subtle attack is to insinuate that one needs to be a scholar or theologian to understand the Bible. Otherwise, one can obtain only a surface reading of the text. This reasoning harkens back to the Roman Catholic Church, who claims that only scholars of the Church are capable of interpreting Scripture. But God has promised in His Word in James 1, 5, and 6, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So why are the Scriptures so important? Let's briefly look at three of the many reasons. Number one, the Bible reveals who God is. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It is through God's Word that we learn about Him. It shows how God deals with the problem of sin and how He longs to reconcile us to Himself. It reveals His creativity, His majesty, His mercy, His justice, and His plans. In Amos 3:7 we read, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets." Our first fundamental belief states as follows: the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, are the written Word of God given by divine inspiration. The inspired authors spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In this Word, God has committed to humanity the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are the supreme, authoritative, and the infallible revelation of His will. They are the standard of character, the test of experience, the definite revealer of doctrines, and the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. Number two, God's Word is truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," said Jesus, recorded in John 14:6. And in His prayer to His Father, recorded in John 17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." When Jesus was confronted by religious leaders, angry because He claimed to be the Son of God, Jesus went to Scripture for authority. In John 5:37 and 45, He said, "The Father Himself who sent Me has testified of Me, but you do not have His Word abiding in you. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is One who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe Me, for He wrote about Me." Scripture, Jesus affirms, testify of Him. They reveal God's divine purposes and plans and explain how sin entered the world. They reveal God's response to sin, His relationship with human beings, and give insight into the character and nature of God. Number three, the Scriptures are instructive. Ellen White wrote in Christian Education, page 37, "The Bible is the most comprehensive and the most instructive history which men possess. it, the Bible, came fresh from the fountain of eternal truth, and a divine hand has preserved its purity through all the ages. Its bright rays shine into the far distant past, where human research seeks vainly to penetrate. In God's Word alone we find an account of creation. Here we behold the power that laid the foundation of the earth and that stretched out the heavens. Here only can we find a history of our race, unsullied by human prejudice or human pride. The Bible, like Jesus, rises above culture, prejudice, and pride. It reveals to us the truth about ourselves, about our world, and beyond. It teaches us how to have a genuine relationship with God and with each other, and gives us powerful promises that we may live a consistent spiritual life. Ellen White wrote in Christian Service, page 144, "A great work can be done by presenting to the people the Bible just as it reads. Admonish them to take the Bible as it is, to implore divine enlightenment, and then, when the light shines, to gladly accept each precious ray and fearlessly abide the consequences." While on earth, the subject of Christ's teaching and preaching was the Word of God. We are told in Christ's Object Lessons, pages 38 and 39, "Christ's servants are to do the same work. In our day, as of old, the vital truths of God's Word are set aside for human theories and speculations. Many professed ministers of the gospel do not accept the whole Bible as the inspired word. They set up their judgment as superior to the word, and the scripture which they do teach rests upon their own authority. Its divine authenticity is destroyed. Thus the seeds of infidelity are sown broadcast, for the people become confused and know not what to believe. Christ taught that the Word of God was to be understood by all. He pointed to the Scripture as of unquestionable authority, and we should do the same. The Bible is to be presented as the Word of the infinite God, as the end of all controversy and the foundation of all faith." As we remember the faithful martyrs, those who were willing to sacrifice self rather than Scripture, let us treasure, teach, and preach the mighty, living Word of God until Jesus comes, so that we may say with David, as recorded in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee."
We hope you've enjoyed this special Week of Prayer podcast entitled "Why Scripture?" by Pastor Ted Wilson. You can subscribe to his podcast along with many others by going to araudio.org. To find additional and spiritual uplifting materials, we invite you to visit our website at adventistworld.org.